Hello, America. Dave Hodges here, host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show, Freeing America, One Enslaved Mind at a Time. Thank you so much for joining us. Got Sam Arnold with us here. It's kind of interesting. The day before Sam and I rehooked up, and we've had some communication issues, someone said, two people said, Dave, it's time for a Sam visit. And I said, I can't get a hold of the guy. But finally, throwing out enough lifelines, we got it done. And Sam is here. We're brought to you by Noble Gold. We're in the Noble Gold Studios. And ladies and gentlemen, the other side is playing dirty. They're doing everything to do to bring down the economy. That includes taking your bank account under the Dodd-Frank Law 2010. They can take your retirement too. Anyone that keeps their retirement in the bank right now needs to really re-examine the laws because it's not yours. You're number two. So what are you going to do? You're going to go to DaveHodgesGold.com. And I'm going to send you out a free information packet about how Noble Gold can extract your retirement, put it under your name, back it with precious metals, and no one can ever touch it again. And we can employ similar strategies for your bank account. Now, the federal government, in a dire warning, wants me to tell you that any investment carries an inherent risk. Okay, we believe in saying that to people. They should be advertising too that the banks offer the most significant opposition to your wealth out there right now because they're under control of the deep state. They're coming for us. DaveHodgesGold.com. Sam, good to talk to you here. And I understand that you have had to change locations for the second time.
Yes, I'm in San Salvador, El Salvador. Praise the Lord. I'm falling back further. The story, the iconic story of the American gunfighter making a run for the Mexican border, and so often they don't make it across the Rio Grande. Well, I made it across the Rio Grande. They did not catch up with me down in Juarez, Mexico, as Johnny Cash famously sings. But I have had to fall further back into Latin America. So here I am in Nayib Bukele's Bitcoin, utilizing El Salvador, and it's a nation on the rise. It's a great place for me to be. I did lose everything again. I got out of Mexico with some enemies high up in the government, and basically with the skin on my back and with a very highly trained air sending search and rescue dog, the famous Logan, whom I have donated to the president of El Salvador. They are happy to receive him, and these nations are now transforming their militaries to peacekeeping. So we'll talk about that a little bit as the show goes on, humanitarian search and rescue, hurricane recovery, and things like that. And just to throw this out there for the topic of the show, it's very likely that there will be massive military activity by the United States and intervention into Venezuela, disassembly of the unlawful stolen communist governments of Honduras and Guatemala, and a major surge into Panama, totally aside from the canal, just to close down the migration and the Darien Gap, and for a move into Venezuela. So, in all likelihood, that's going to kick off in a week, the moment that President Trump takes office, and pieces of the equation are already falling into place here in Latin America.
Okay, I have some questions. And I'm going to have to make a couple of assumptions that I know you'll set me straight on if I'm incorrect. As I have been investigating, what I have seen, Sam, is greatly disturbing. And I'm talking about President Claudia and her coming in. They've done these busts of the Sinaloas, first El Chapo, then his sons. And now they're making busts all over northern Mexico and Sinaloa. And I understand now that the CJNGs are the dominants. 80% of all murders, I was told this by someone inside the Mexican government, 80% of all murders now associated with the CJNG, and they're active on both sides of the border. And Claudia is allegedly she's on their payroll. And she's doing fake busts of the Sinaloas to make it look like she's working with Trump against the cartel, but she's doing no such thing in reality. Okay, so Sam, there's the scenario I've been getting. Border patrol, Trump people, so forth, so on. Tell me your understanding of these facts.
I love Dr. Claudia, Doctora Claudia. She's got a lot going for her. She's a highly educated and intelligent person. She's part of a government that has reformed its nation for the last 6 years and is continuing to do so. She's just coming up on her 100 days in office. She's actually, in the last few days, committed the first act that really bothers me. Although I have defended her on many occasions, she did something that I really didn't like. But it's not related to what you're saying. I believe that what you're seeing is a lot of propaganda that comes from both sides of the aisle. She immediately moved her troops in to confront, especially in Sinaloa, especially there. There is an ongoing war there, but it's going to get a lot hotter when President Trump takes office. There has been a little bit of tit for tat. Trump, as when he took power before, he came on with his strongest rhetoric, and it's part of the art of the deal. Then he backs off just a little bit at a time. We're seeing the same thing in Panama. I do think the U.S. will take the canal back, but that president is very much a Trumpist president. He's an allied president. I was there for his inauguration
Which
earlier
president are
this
you
year when he
talking
first
about? Excuse me, Sam. You're talking about Panama's president now.
That's another place where Trump came on very strong and said, "Hey, we're taking the canal back." So Trump has come on very strong with Mexico, and Dr. Sheinbaum has responded and said, "Hey, you're going to rename the Gulf of Mexico the Gulf of America. Maybe we'll rename the southern U.S. Mexican America because it used to be Mexico, and before that was New Spain." And so, there's kind of these presidents have to stand up for their sovereignty. Trump has to launch a shot across the bow to get the ball rolling that he can then back off of a little bit. And the other president has to say, "Hey, I'm going to stand up here. We're going to defend our national sovereignty." But then backs off and says, "But on these transnational criminal organizations, we're going to work with you." One thing that she said just in the last week is Mexico is going to take the immigrants that are deported from the USA when there are problems getting them back to their Latin American country of origin. And so her just saying that is a huge amount of get along with the Trump administration. That's just one thing. There are many, many more.
Okay, I just want to be sure on one thing then. So the information I'm getting, and others like me, is disinformation, and President Claudia is actually going to play ball with Trump. Is that your understanding?
Correct. There is a very strong accusation that these people are communists. They did it for 6 years of AMLO. And you need to understand that the way that Trump looks into the camera and says, CNN is fake news. The fake news is behind us. They're going to turn their cameras off when I say what I'm about to say. And so, oh, the light went, just went off. The same thing has been done every weekday morning in Mexico City for 6 years. A lot of the press pool that AMLO brought into the presidential palace was YouTubers and very citizen journalists, and then they became the new core of journalism, publicizing, okay, here's the issue, here's what the president said about it, here's what I see being done. And so there's a real rise of the conservative media because the legacy media has been against his administration and called them communists. Eduardo Verástegui is a big part of that. And he just will not back off on his assertions and his points that there's a communist administration in Mexico, that they're no different from Nicolas Maduro, and it could not be further from the truth. When
Okay.
she took office, and I reported on this in the early days of October because I was breaking out of Mexico and flying to El Salvador, I saw that in 3 days, 2 days into her presidency, I believe it was October the 3rd, that the National Guard had tugged their 727 National Guard transport aircraft. Now, that's a three-engine international transoceanic airliner. They have two of them that were pulled out onto the tarmac. And even though they're battleship gray, they had been shined up and brassoed for months waiting for this because the National Guard was going to be commanded by Omar Garcia Harfuch, the guy that you and I reported on, who's
Yes.
Mexico City police chief, and they tried to murder him with 28 trained hitmen. The same week that AMLO said, "I changed my mind. I'm going to go to Washington and meet with Mr. Trump. He's respected our government in many ways. I think we can get along." The Chinese were so furious. They pulled the trigger, activated the cartels. This was the worst hit I've ever seen in my life by trained devil worshipers. These were not the fat guys from up in Reynosa that sit around drinking beer all day and then go shoot their guns in the air at night. These were trained hitmen. He was shot three times, just like President Trump. He's got a score to settle. And this was 2 days into his administration as the head of the National Guard, Omar Garcia Harfuch. And I'm looking out the window in the Mexico City airport at those planes that have been pulled out of the revetments. They've been pulled out of the hangars, and now they're out there gleaming in the sun. And I reported the guard is going to load up on those planes. They're going to go to Sinaloa. They're going to go to all these new places where the Morena Party, the president's party, has taken the governorships. And it is going to be time to rumble. It's going to be a rumble in the jungle and all the northern deserts. And that's exactly happened. But now you see a lot of legacy media reporting, oh, that there's senseless violence. It just goes on and on. It's getting worse, not better. Oh, there's no way out. It's like Walter Cronkite reporting on Vietnam.
Okay, now I guess where I want to go with this is your personal story. You had defected because of persecution by the U.S. government to Mexico, and that was accepted. I was proud to be a witness of sorts in that process. Now you have to leave Mexico and go to where you are now in El Salvador. What precipitated the need for flight to safety?
Because I had made friends and enemies high up in the government of Mexico, and we'll have a turnaround there. And also because there was a rejection of the gospel. You know, I'm a minister. Hey, I just had my Spanish Bible redone in El Salvador in leather, and it is a thing of beauty that they kept all my marked pages. It's like brand new. I just had that done. Anyway, when the gospel is rejected, the north of Mexico did not have to turn into a battle zone. But now there's open talk of the northern states seceding from Mexico, and it's a zoo. And remember that Republican Governor Greg Abbott would like that very much. He would like for a Texas secession and a northern Mexico secession to make a Bushite CIA controlled Middle Earth empire in between what's left of the United States and Mexico. You and I have reported on that for years. So even from the Republican establishment, our party, there is this call to create a monster that would be very un-American. And that's still going on. But there will now be battle on the Rio Grande. There will be battle in the Arizona and Sinaloa, Sonora
Between
Desert,
whom?
the Chihuahuan Deserts, there
Who will
will
the
be U.S. military activity in the north
Okay, U.S.
Mexico.
military and who will be the other combatants?
Say that again.
Okay, the U.S. military is coming in, probably Delta Force. Who are they going to be fighting against?
I think it'll be a lot more than some snooping and pooping. Trump did some of that last time. You know, we're revisiting things like Operation Gideon. It's just coming out. Now, this is Venezuela, but it's just coming out in the news in the last couple of days that the Trump administration was behind that on certain levels, and then the deep state scuttled it. But Trump did some of that snooping and pooping in the north of Mexico against the cartels even before he made peace with Andres Manuel, because that was in 2020, the last year of the Trump presidency. Now it's going to be open military action. No, we're talking Abrams tanks, we're talking air missions, we're talking maybe napalm, and there's going to be a lot of carnage and a lot of destruction because there was a rejection of the gospel, especially right up against the Texas border where I built my house
Okay.
and where I lived for 3 years.
But Sam, I'm having trouble understanding. Who are we, our forces in America, going to be fighting against specifically in Mexico?
It's going to be the transnational organizations, but it's the
Let's name them. I
entire
don't,
system.
that's too general. I want to, is it the Sinaloas? Is it the CJNGs? Is it the Chinese? Who's it going to be?
Those cartels are somewhat splintered and somewhat united, but here's my point. The entirety of the society has made a decision as a whole to support that general lifestyle, that pistolero, wild, uncontrolled Ishmaelite lifestyle. And so there's going to be widespread destruction and wholesale destruction. You know, they could have just said, you know, people getting splattered all over this highway every single day. We should make some changes in our society to prevent that. But no, they just love it. They burn more candles at their little altars, and more kids get smashed, dogs get smashed,
Okay.
and it just never got any better because the people would not learn. And so they're going to have to get it the hard way. So some of the commentators that I've disagreed with over the years that talk about third world savages and them being incorrigible, yeah, there's some truth to that. And their rejection of the gospel has come to a breaking point. And so it's going to be ugly. There's going to be widespread violence. And look what happened in Vietnam. No village was safe. The Kong would come in at night, and then the US would come in by day, and then they'd battle it out. And we're talking artillery barrages, we're talking armor, we're talking helicopter gunships. And that is what I see happening very shortly in the north of Mexico. And it's what has to happen. And the Mexican president, Claudia Sheinbaum, will agree with President Trump. It will be the Mexican National Guard, the Mexican Marina, you know, their Navy and Marines and Army working in conjunction with the U.S. Army. And we're going to make beautiful music together. But before all that happens, just today, Dr. Claudia sent 72 firefighters from the Mexican Army, airlifted them to Los Angeles. So they're fighting the fires along with the USA.
Yeah, that's another topic for another time, but
Oh, come on. They're
what
really
you're
trying. There's
well
an intent. There is an intent to
and
change the face of these militaries to humanitarian arms. Every one of the militaries has a humanitarian arm, and those arms are growing and becoming more prevalent and becoming more the face of the military as it's transitioning to peacetime, at least here in El Salvador. In Mexico, they're still doing that kind of work. I mean, they've had some of the greatest earthquake rescue squads in the world for decades, but there's going to be war there. It's going to be a mess.
Well, there's going to be a
A
war.
necessary
There's
cleanup
going to
job.
be, I can tell you this. This is what I have learned, Sam, and this is not debatable. There were two Border Patrol agents, one of them I know well, and they called me 3 days after this event. And this might have been about a month ago. Actually, it was before Thanksgiving. And there were lights of armored vehicles on the other side of the border. There were 16 Border Patrol agents in the sector, and they were in the Yuma sector. And they were congregated together. They were scared to death. They called the Naval Air Station at Yuma. They wouldn't respond. They called Davis-Monthan. They wouldn't respond. They called their higher ups first in the Border Patrol, and they wouldn't respond. DHS, we'll get back to you. They never got back to them. Now, what ended up happening is they thought they were under invasion. They thought that these armored vehicles were going to cross, and they were all going to be in danger and going to be outgunned. The best that they had were some light RPGs. That's supposed to be confidential, I guess. And the M16s. They had a couple of 50 cals, and they thought we're in big trouble. No one crossed the border. There were approximately two dozen vehicles they estimated, and they lost satellite feed to keep track of them. So they had their own communications taken offline for surveillance purposes. As it turned out, it was our stuff. It was the U.S. doing a drill on the other side of Mexico, in Mexico, with two dozen armored vehicles that were purposely lit up so they could be seen. I don't know if you're aware of the event. This is well documented. This is not even in dispute now with a number of people that know about it inside Border Patrol and DHS. What do you make of that, Sam?
That's what I've been telling you in the world is going to happen. And this is the surge ahead of Trump taking the helm. When he takes the helm, the hammer is going to drop.
I agree with that.
Not only there, but in Venezuela and in Central America. You know, the Honduran president just said, maybe we'll just close the Sotocano Air Base. Joint Task Force Bravo in Honduras, been there for decades. The only fully operational U.S. base in the entirety of Latin America. She said, maybe we'll just sell that, hinting maybe we'll kick you out and give it to the Chinese. Now, that ain't gonna fly. And I'll tell you what, listen, we finally got rid of General Laura Richardson. Yeah, Alvin Bull Halsey is the head of Southcom now, and he's badass. He is ready to rumble. The moment after he took the helm, within a week, there were, I believe Michael Young reported, 10 C-17s on the tarmac at the old Howard Air Base in Panama. That's another thing that we'll get back with the canal zone if the canal is taken back. But I mean, nobody waited for Trump to be president. Nobody, just Alvin Bull Halsey took over Southcom, and bam, 10 heavy lift aircraft went into the old Howard base. And that is why I believe the Panamanian quasi-military, their border ranger force, has not been completely overrun, because we made that drop of weapons and ammunition. And so that's going to surge. I mean, right now, when Trump takes over, there could be a Venezuelan intervention within days. The Latin American presidents are already dropping their little hints. Nayib Bukele tweeted just 1 or 2 days ago, patience, because it was the 10th of January, and it was the day that Maduro inaugurated himself. And all the comments, everyone knew that he was referring to a Venezuelan intervention. Edmundo Gonzalez was in Panama, where there's supposed to be this peeing contest between the new conservative president and Trump over the canal. But they're agreed on the need for Venezuelan intervention, the need for a lot of U.S. money and material and military effort to pour into Panama for them to defend themselves. He knows that. President Mulino knows that. And so, why was that the last known location of Edmundo Gonzalez, which I'm just broadcasting? I'm preparing my Monday broadcast right now. In all likelihood, Edmundo Gonzalez, the president-elect of Venezuela, is in Panama right now. He made a statement from Argentina with President Milei. They flew to Panama, made a statement with President Mulino, and then Nayib Bukele in El Salvador says, patience, patience. And so we're days away from a major seismic shift, and the U.S. is going to rumble and hard. If they wouldn't have shot President Trump, it may be different. But when people get shot, they have a bad attitude sometimes until their dying day about the people who did it. And who's the two guys that got shot, survived, and are ready to rumble? The head of the National Guard of Mexico, Omar Garcia Harfuch, and Donald John Trump. Let's go.
Wow, I'm not surprised. I want to talk about Venezuela for a second. This is something I know a little bit about because it's years old. This goes back to the first Trump administration when he employed John Bolton just to do one thing and then he ditched him. And the one thing was stop the invasion of Guyana with Brazilian and Venezuelan involvement. And so they put 10,000 troops into Colombia and they had to use force to do it. In other words, some blackmail, some threats, leverage. And they're still there. We still have a sizable military force inside of Colombia ready to act on Venezuela if needed. Is your understanding that's the force that's going to be used to come in with strategic strikes because they're airborne and they're going to come in and take control of Venezuela through strategic sites?
Okay, yes and no. When Trump did that, there was still a conservative president, even though he was very much a rhino. That guy's gone, and Gustavo Petro's been in for 2, 3 years now, and he's a really bad guy. He's a communist. He's made friends with Maduro. Now, he's got some mutineering within Colombia, within the military. I think we've discussed how Colombian weapons and U.S. and Israeli-made weapons in Colombia may have made their way by some of those patriots into the hand of the armed society in Haiti. But that's another issue. What you asked was, is Colombia going to be our base to go into Venezuela? No, Panama is going to be our base to go into Colombia, because the communist president, Petro, allows all the trafficking and transnational organizations to have the free rein of his country. He won't even assign his military. So Colombia is going to have a lot of carnage, just like the north of Mexico. We're more likely to launch out of Sotocano in Honduras, more likely to launch out of El Salvador, which would be just ecstatic to have a surge in U.S. military presence and U.S. aid to the Salvadoran military. They're still running around with busted guns, patrolling the streets right outside of my little concrete house. They would love to have some new guns and not be starved out like they've been for 4 years under Biden. They've made it now to the Trump administration. We're only days away. So there's going to be a surge in El Salvador. There's going to be a surge in Panama. And traditionally in Trinidad, where Alvin Bull Halsey showed up. Now, there's been pre-surges in Trinidad ahead of that. We donated him a $1 million hospital a year ago. I reported on that. It's in the archives. We drilled with them. Trinidad is only 7 miles from Venezuela. 7 miles. Aside from that, there's the Dutch island of Curaçao. It's only 40 miles from a much more populated area of Venezuela. And so that's an area the Dutch know that they have to work with the US anytime it's at all possible, because that's the only way that they can secure their possessions in the Caribbean. They're very distant from their coasts. Now, you brought up one other point that I really want to respond to, and that is Suriname, the Guyanas, Guyana, Suriname, and French Guyana, because we reported, and we were the only guys to do it, that there is a danger of these very small nations being pushed into the sea. All three of those nations combined have less population than was in the Gaza Strip before the fireworks happened there. So you're talking small nations and very little population, very little budget. I mean, here in El Salvador, it's the size of Vermont. There's 6 million people here. But this is a giant nation and a populous nation compared to any one of the three Guyanas, or even all three Guyanas together. And so what Nicolas Maduro said, and I mean, this is in the last 24 hours, he's making his victory speeches and all this. And first of all, he came out and made fun of Nayib Bukele and hosted the Communist Opposition Party that was in power before Bukele. And they have zero support here. They go out and rally in front of the Capitol. There's like 20, 30 people. It happened today. They rallied against mining in front of the BNYES, the National Library that the Chinese built. Tiny protests. They don't wave their flags. We never see them. There's a few Congress people. Bukele won't arrest them. He lets them talk all their smack, but they're communists. The people don't want it. But that contingent, Maduro invited to Caracas, and they were there waving their red communist flags. Ah, Frente Farabundo, our movement's still alive. Look, we have a home here with Nicolas Maduro. And Maduro said, you know what? Maybe we need to liberate Puerto Rico from the gringos. We need to do it while Lula da Silva is in power of the great nation of Brazil. The Brazilian military will provide the muscle to do it. Well, hey, world, what do you think? Now, here's what I have to say about that. That's a bluff. He's not really going to attack Puerto Rico. He'd never make it in the airlift and across the high sea. But what he can do is threaten the Guyanas.
Yeah.
And that is a very serious threat. This was not mentioned in the current iteration, but months ago, the saber rattling was very severe, and you and I reported on it. Look, not only is the nation of Guyana in danger of being overrun, even under General Laura Richardson, the U.S. supercarriers cruised there into the edge of the Caribbean and made supersonic flybys over the disputed Essequibo region just to tell Maduro and his people, to his military, to back off. So now there's a very serious threat of, and you and I called this out. Brazil put their military on the border when this whole Guyana crisis was happening, and everybody said, oh, Brazil is defending our border against Venezuela. Dave Hodges and I got on and said, hey, these guys are both commies. They're two peas in a pod. They could link arms and smash the Guyanas and drive them into the sea, and there's a real threat of that. And here are some communists that are calling for it, saying, in our continent, we only have this little Western interests in these three tiny nations, and it needs to go. We reported on that, and now it's a very serious threat. It could happen. Venezuela and Brazil could move together against the Guyanas, and it would be hard to stop because they both have very impressive land armies. One more little thing, and I know you have comments to jump in with. There was a deal on the table to sell more F-16s and more Harpoon anti-ship missiles to Colombia. And I called my Senator Joni Ernst after I broadcast all the details, and I said, hey, can we put the brakes on this? They got a communist government now. The last thing we need is them having more F-16s and more anti-ship missiles, more long-range Phoenix air-to-air missiles in the event that they join forces with Maduro. And they're becoming fast friends. And you know what? The F-16 deal was stopped. And I did it again in Argentina. And I said, hey, you know, there's been an arms embargo against Argentina since the 1982 Falklands War. They haven't gotten any Western weapons, even from France or Europe. But there's a new sheriff in town. And I believe that Milei will be a faithful ally. He came in with the support of his police and military. Let's get them some new F-16s. And you know what? They got them. So that's kind of how the geopolitics has changed in the last couple of years.
I want to go back to Panama for a second here. I've got expats that I communicate with on a semi-regular basis in Panama, and they've proven to be very reliable in their information. They have mixed feelings about their government and their government's loyalty to China. And this comes into play with the canal. Can you address that?
Well, you know, I went to Panama very recently and I talked to a lot of people myself and I saw a lot of Chinamen. I reported on my show that there were more Chinamen than on the Fisherman's Wharf in San Francisco. As you move in any corner of Panama, as long as it's populated, they move into the cities, they don't build brick and mortar, they rent and just run the properties down. They set up their dingy little dimly lit stores. And if you want to buy anything in Panama, you got to deal with the Chinese. They don't even speak Spanish. They're all party members. It's very dangerous. So Trump's accusation that the Chinese have significant amounts of control in Panama, including land holdings right up against the canal. They have the same thing in Argentina up against the Drake and Beagle Pass, the Drake Passage and the Beagle Channel, the waterway that goes through the archipelago, the Tierra del Fuego archipelago at the tip of Argentina and Chile. They have land holdings there. And so it's just ripe for them to set up anti-ship missiles and gun batteries and block off those critical passages. And those are the only three. You know, the whole idea is if there's any problem with Panama Canal, at least we can sail around all South America. Well, the Chinese are dug in there too. And so there's going to be a real effort in eradicating them. That's one of the reasons that Jose Raul Mulino, the Panamanian president, will link arms with Trump, even if it costs him the canal. They'll be better off. And the people of Panama want the U.S. to be there. They want the servicemen. They want the money. They love the USA, Levi's jeans, and more than any other Latin American nation, they see themselves as Americans.
Won't
And
Trump's
it's just, we're going to make
association
beautiful music together and dig those Chinamen out.
to continue down this line though, people I've had discussions with were pretty much in agreement. If Trump is able to secure the Panama Canal and neutralize a lot of the Chinese influence, this puts a big dent in the migrant routes from South America to the United States coming out of the Darien Gap. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. And much easier than sealing the Darien Gap is sealing the Panama Canal. It's a
Yes, exactly.
waterway that bisects. There's only two bridges over it. What are they going to canoe across the Panama Canal? If that is made a military zone again, then all the traffic can be inspected. And it would be a very easy thing to do. Now, lots of people commute across there, but lots of people commute across the U.S.-Mexico border to work at Arby's and Chick-fil-A. And it's a very simple thing to inspect all traffic that crosses that strategic waterway. And that's one of the things that I think we're going to see happen immediately, but it's going to require U.S. help and manpower.
Yeah, I totally agree. Trump has already made mention of naval forces in the area, and that tells me the Panama Canal is central to this. And so, as there's digression in ships around the Panama Canal, they're going to be intercepted. I think that's pretty clear from what Trump has said. The other thing that I want to go back to, Sam, if I don't ask this, my audience is going to write me nasty notes. Well, they won't be nasty, but they'll say, "Why didn't you ask Sam this?" Okay, you're doing well in Mexico. Everything's going well, and you said you made enemies high up. Can you give us any details, or is it not safe to do so?
Well, you know, part of that has to do with my refugee claim too. In 3 years in Mexico, I was never granted an acknowledgement of my refugee status. I was never acknowledged as a refugee. I never had real government protection. And I don't have the high profile of a lot of other people where they had to address that issue. And there was also the need for the Morena movement to see itself, to communicate itself as the protector of all the poor refugees, not fat Americans who want to hide out there because we got in too many gunfights or too close to too many. So there were certain things that I had failed to accomplish in Mexico. There are other things that we accomplished with great success. I mean, I lived in three places for 2 years each over a 6-year election cycle. And in every one of those three places, dark corners of Mexico where people said, Morena will never win here. We took the governorships and the mayor, key mayorships and congressional and Senate seats in all three of those places, turned them to the president's party, which then allows those governors to invite the National Guard and the military to a greater role in busting the cartels. And we're talking about up against the Texas border in Tamaulipas State. We're talking about the darkest area of Mexico State on the east side of Mexico City. And we're talking about the Indian area of Chiapas, where everyone said, no, this is the heart of the communist revolutionaries and the oppressed Indians, indigenous peoples, and Morena will never rule here. Well, guess what? They control Chiapas now, which is a border state. And so, and on day one of Dr. Claudia's presidency, the Mexican army got in a gunfight with a bunch of Afghani, Pakistani, Iranian, and Middle Eastern migrants that tried to run their checkpoint. So that was just everyone's sign. I mean, shots fired, barrier runners were killed. That was everybody's sign that there's a new sheriff in town, things are gonna get ugly. But a lot of my, the need for
Okay.
me to move on
I
was the
got
rejection of the
okay,
gospel.
before you go on, I need to close the loop on the question I asked you. From what I'm hearing is your position of being supportive of what you think will be a pro-Trump Mexican administration led you afoul to entities in the government with cartel associations. Is that correct?
I think that that is only stronger now that so many of those alliances and dark horse candidates that the news and the media was against them and I supported them and now they're in stronger positions. So in that respect, I have a lot more allies, but even in spite of that, none of them gave me government protection. Here in El Salvador, I had a lengthy conversation with the vice president yesterday. So, see, already I'm in a whole new place. And that's what I need as a refugee.
So effectively, and I get what you're saying, your refugee status wasn't officially recognized, so they felt no obligation to protect you, and you're associated with certain national interests that are not necessarily criminal in nature, and so that puts you on the hit list, potentially. That's what I'm hearing.
And I've reported on the details, kind of step by step, how things turned against me. But in a nutshell, it has to do with the rejection of the gospel by some very key people and some people that were very close to me.
Satanically oriented cartel. I've come across it over and over in my research.
And that, once there was community support for the cartels to come after me, all of a sudden, it was an issue where I really just shouldn't be there.
No, I get it. I get it. And add to the
So
fact
guess
that.
what? They can deal with Big Red One, because that's what's coming for them. They made their decision. Now it's irrevocable. I have withdrawn. I have brought the delivering angel with me to another country, and that's that. They'll get it the way they wanted it.
My understanding,
And
Sam, is that.
women and children and little crumb crunchers and innocent looking people and non-combatants will not be spared because they're not that. They are communist sympathizers.
Well,
You see,
yes
they've
and
made
no.
their choice.
And here's what I get from a variety of sources, and this is where it gets really official with my sources. The plan right now, and it's no secret, Delta type strike forces. We're not going to roll tanks across the border. That's too big of an international incident. But they're going to be strike forces. I don't know that I agree with your assertion that the people in the neighborhoods where they locate the drug houses and the child migrant trafficking centers where they gather them and either sell them for their organs or sell them into sex slavery, they're embedded in the neighborhoods. It's like Hamas, in Gaza. You can't separate the two. So you can't go do surgical airstrikes without doing a lot of civilian casualties. And that's what got Israel so much negative publicity. They were legitimately going after Hamas. They didn't have any interest in taking out a hospital. But when Hamas is firing surface-to-air missiles at them from inside a hospital, you don't have much choice. And this is what the Americans are going to be facing because the cartel are modeling after the Hamas. And I'm going to say this, Sam, because I've said this now, gosh, since 2012 with Kathy Rubio. She was at base camps in El Salvador, interesting, before the political shift, and Honduras, run by the CIA, where the Sánchez Paredes cartel, now the Shining Path, were coordinating Hamas, Hezbollah, other Middle Eastern terrorist groups with the cartels and training them into paramilitary forces with fairly advanced light infantry tactics and weapons. And this is what we're going to be dealing with in Mexico. It'll be the Gaza Strip all over again. And this is why they're not going to have any choice but to go in and do surgical strikes. And they're warning the Mexicans, do not interfere. I've already heard that warning's gone out, and it's from South Command. And this is what I've been told, is they have told Claudia, we will be coming in. We will give you X amount of warning, and it's probably about 10 minutes, and you will stand down your forces because if you get in the way, it could get ugly. That's what I'm being told.
Yes,
You
all of
agree with that?
that
Okay.
with one minor addition. Nobody wants it more than Doctora Claudia. In fact, we renamed her. She's Shine Dog. She's the She Bear. And you will see that. You will see Garcia Harfuch. It is going to be hammer time. And okay, the early waves are going to be widespread signals interception and targeting of individuals, identifying who is who, and all that's a lot of it's already done, but it will go to another level with the interception of those signals,
Okay.
identification of individuals, and then there will be some surgical strikes. There will be airstrikes and drone strikes, hellfire missile strikes. Listen, Andres Manuel, and I reported this 2 years into his administration, he had built his military, restored esprit de corps, and I was standing there at the parade in Mexico City. I got great Polaroids of it, of him marching by all his anti-armor equipment, 105 millimeter recoilless anti-armor guns, anti-material guns, 50 caliber Barretts beyond counting, 84 millimeter AT-4s, and LAW, probably five, six different major anti-armor weapons that he had just invested in around the world. Most of them infantry or vehicle-borne weapons that could be used to destroy all of that cartel armor that they were so cocky about. This is aside from the fact that the military Air Force, that Mexican Air Force, has jet fighters, they have laser-guided bombs, they have huge amounts of T-6 Texans aircraft,
Hey,
which is a propeller turboprop, excellent
Sam, I'm
close
sorry.
air support
I
aircraft.
don't mean to interrupt you, but I don't want to go through the weapons inventory because there's more issues I want to cover that I think supersede that. The second part, there's a part B to this that I have been told, and I believe Paul Preston has this as well. In fact, I know he does. And I think even John Wells has this. Once we do surgical strikes, and the supporting protective mechanisms of these clandestine cartel sites are done, that the Mexican government will effectively be in a situation to choose sides. And so they either come in to help the cartel or they go after the cartel when they're in a weakened state. And the people think that they're going to do the latter. Do you have any information on that?
They're absolutely going to crush the cartels.
Okay.
And this is why I have read between the lines of the political statements. You know, when Claudia was president-elect, the journalists asked her, "Are you going to reopen the war on drugs?" And she said, "No, we're not going to reopen the war on drugs," which was a catastrophe in a zoo because
Sure.
it was run by the CIA, who just loved having senseless carnage and neither side getting ahead. She said, but there will be advancement of the nation with justice. So, see, she was saying, we're going to march forward. We are going to establish law and order and expand the control of the central government to the furthest provinces. And it's happening. Nobody wants it more than her, which is why 48 hours after she took office, the aircraft were tugged out of the hangars to move troops to the north of the nation into the cartel strongholds. Day
Okay.
one, there was a gunfight
All
on
right.
the border.
So,
Day three, the aircraft were on the tarmac. And then later on, we see them moving special forces and paratroopers around the nation to support local law enforcement that's
okay.
part of their party.
So, Sam, I got to go with this now. The stories of Claudia's capitulation to the CJNG cartel, the new Jalisco.
Lies.
Okay. So, you're saying that's disinfo to basically make the public think she's dirty, not trust her, make Americans doubt her, not trust her. Okay. All right. I get that. Okay. We'll let that set out there as two opposing stories. I'll have to look into this more. There's another question I want to ask you, and this is more of an anomaly. It's kind of off topic, but it really isn't. I forget the name of the port, but there was a huge port in Peru where the Chinese were effectively doing Belt and Road infrastructure shiftovers, and they were gaining major control. Then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, an unusual North Carolina style weather event ripped that port apart. Do you think this was Southcom, DARPA, CIA stopping the Chinese in Peru?
No, I believe it was the hand of God. And I believe you're talking about the Acapulco storm. And there was a huge amount of tourist infrastructure that could not be separated from the cartels. It could not be taxed. It could not be part of a civil society because it had all been built on kleptocracy. And Morena controlled that, the governorship and the mayorship. And then they just needed a miracle to clean out that hornet's nest. And that hurricane steamed up to Cat 5 overnight, smashed every hotel. I actually met some of the people who were rebuilding at the Fifi Fiesta in Mexico City. The guy's like, yeah, I'm rebuilding five, six hotels down in Acapulco, but now it's being done above board with some law and order. And the Mexican military was Johnny on the spot. They got in there right away and looked it over and helped.
All right, so let me go to Venezuela for a second too, to put a little closure on this. Do you have any information on the type of intervention Trump will do to oust Maduro, gain control? I know he can negate Putin's opposition if they form a military alliance, which I think is coming. But what's going to be the methods employed by U.S. military or proxy forces to oust Maduro and get control of Venezuela?
The greatest military minds are working on that, both how to do it and what will be most energizing for the resistance and what would be most damaging for the irredeemable elements of the corrupt regime.
So
I, at this point,
it's a plan in progress, is what you're saying.
yes, but one thing will happen. Edmundo Gonzalez will set foot on Venezuelan soil. That's what's going to make the shift. But he's going to have to roll in hard. You know, a beachhead has to be established and a secure perimeter has to be established for him to set foot in the continent. Now there is a legitimately elected president. The whole world knows it. You know, there are some doubters against him because he served in the Chavez administration. But that was a long time ago. Probably Maria Corina Machado will be the vice president. And she's the one that was really the figurehead, but she was banned from running by a kangaroo court decision. I believe she's still in Venezuela, but in hiding. Yeah, she is in Venezuela because there was a whole fiasco where she was kidnapped, then she wasn't kidnapped, then she made a video that she was safe, and it may not have been her. There's a lot of misinformation and disinformation, but she is in Venezuela. And the moment that a beachhead of some type is established, where an airport is taken, there's a secure perimeter, and Edmundo Gonzalez sets foot on Venezuelan soil, and everybody knows that these people are exasperated after years of communism. They're worn out, their bodies are depleted, they're in a very hopeless place. But when Edmundo Gonzalez is there and Maduro can't stop him, That's a rallying point for the whole nation. It's the boiling chip to drop in there to just make everything congeal. And so that's how it's going to happen. Edmundo Gonzalez will go to Venezuela soon before everyone gives up hope again.
Okay. Time frames. First 100 days, first week. What do you think?
Well, the last time Trump took office, Obama had done something unprecedented. He parked all the US aircraft carriers, which are supposed to be on patrol in the different areas of operations at all times. He parked them all. They were all lined up, in Norfolk and other places. Trump took the oath, flew to Norfolk, stood on the deck, said, "Weigh anchor and go to sea." And I mean, our first aircraft carrier, I believe, left within 48 hours, within 72 hours of him taking the presidency. It's going to be like that. In fact, it's already happening because people like the Southcom head, other presidents that are in the closed quarters meetings, you know who showed up in Florida? Okay, we don't know where. The former conservative president of Honduras, Jimmy Morales. And then all this nebulous news comes out. Jimmy Morales said, "Yes, I met with certain high officials." Nebulous. "I met with certain high officials." So, which means he was talking to Marco Rubio. It means he was talking to the new ambassador of Panama, Cabrera, which means he was talking to Trump and making a plan to not lose our Sotocano Air Base in Honduras, to not lose our foothold. They arrested the president of Honduras, sent him to the USA, prosecuted him. He's in a dungeon. The drug traffickers that he prosecuted and sent to the USA testified against him. And that's how they kangaroo courted him. He's in the dungeon. And his brother, Tony Hernandez.
What's
But
going to happen to
before
him
all,
when Trump takes over?
let me correct this. Jimmy Morales was the president of Guatemala in their
Guatemala, yeah,
first conservative administration.
right.
So he's the one who came and gave all the advice of, yes, what you need to do is invite the attorney general of Guatemala, who's the representative of our resistance there. And that happened, even though she was sanctioned by the State Department. I did a whole show on it, read my letter
Wow.
that was sent to me by my Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley about her and the sanctions against her and the State Department. I broke it all down, smashed all the pieces, and the very next day, she was invited to come to the Trump inauguration. So that's the Attorney General
Well, I hear you.
of Guatemala.
Listen, this is civilized gunboat diplomacy coming using proxy forces all the way through Latin America. I'm not surprised. Look at Trump's trying to get Greenland, the Panama Canal,
For the first time.
all the other things. Sam, we're just about out of time. We need a follow-up here because there's a lot we've left on the table. But it's interesting. No one hears about this in our media because no one wants to hear that immigration is going to stop. And this is how you stop it. Sam, tell people how to follow you.
For the first time, it's going to happen in the open. GospelGunslingers.com is my main site. Please follow me, listen to my radio show. There's a couple donate buttons. I need Bitcoin bad. I can spend Bitcoin here all day long. And again, I've lost everything. I really need your support financially, your prayer support. Come visit me, fill your pockets up with beef jerky, everything else that I can't get. I'll send you home with some El Salvadoran cigars. They're mighty good. How about that?
Okay, well,
Hand roll.
I'm gonna try to help you raise some funds. I'll have to pass on the cigars for health reasons, but I do appreciate you coming on. We'll follow up as Trump takes office and we see things unfold because I think it's going to happen lightning quick. Thanks, Sam, for coming on.
Thank you, Dave. God bless.
Thank you.